Yeah. Hey, brand new series today called Chasing Forever. If you've ever been tempted to slip into the mindset that you're just living for the weekend, that you just have to deal with the 9-to-5 grind, but you just want to get to the weekend. If you found yourself wondering, does anything I'm doing matter? Am I making a difference, or am I just stuck in this loop of everyday life doing the same things in the same way at the same time in the same rhythms and routines? Does any of this matter? What about Jesus? Doesn't he call us to be about something more, like the eternal thing? And isn't faith in him about eternity? But far too often we feel like our lives are much more just trying to get through a moment so we can get to a weekend and just take a breath. If you've ever been in that tempted place to just want to throw your hands up and say, is there purpose in this? And is there meaning in this? You're in the right place. We're really glad that you're here. And here's why. We're going to jump straight into this idea. The Bible's broken into Old Testament and New Testament. And in the New Testament, a guy named Peter recorded this verse. And this is going to be a verse you'll probably hear quite a bit throughout this series. Peter wrote this down in his book, 1 Peter. It says, friends, this world is not your home. Catch that? That's a powerful statement. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. To go any further in the idea of being able to not only chase forever, but for us to grab a hold of something more than just the 9-to-5 routine and the daily rhythms that we tend to get caught in or even stuck in order for that to happen, you've got to remind yourself that this world is not home for us. We're just kind of passing through it. But the temptation every day is to get cozy. The temptation is to settle in. The temptation is to look around us and seek the satisfaction we're hardwired to desire from others. Peter continues. He says, live an exemplary life among the natives, among the people that don't know that there's more for them. Live in such a way that you remind them, that you point them to the fact that there's a little aspect in all of us saying, is this world it? I mean, is this it? Is this everything? This grind, this rhythm, this going through the motion, this being drugged down or encouraged by parenthood or getting to work or getting to class or getting to your extracurricular? Is this it? Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. There are going to be people that think you're crazy for wanting to grab a hold of forever. Prove them wrong. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. You've been in that tempted moment. Is this it? Is this all? Does my life serve a purpose? Does any of this matter? Is there more to what I'm doing than just this? I'm instantly reminded of a C.S. Lewis quote, which for me as a believer is a strong indication that following Jesus is not only worth it, but it's the secret to everything my soul is searching for. Maybe you've heard this quote by C.S. Lewis before. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. This world is not our home. This isn't it. This wasn't even intended to be a little bit of it. Because see, a long time ago, God created everything. Created you and he created me, but he created human beings. And from that moment, human beings, all of us have had the temptation and oftentimes given into it to want to do things our way instead of God's way. To disobey the perfect plans that he has for us. That's called sin. Everybody does that. Everybody's missed that mark. Everybody's experienced the desires to try to choose us over God. Some of us more often than others. Some of us moment to moment, we just don't get it right. And in that moment, it fractured everything, including what was intended to be a great relationship between us and God, but it also fractures our relationships with other people. And so it leaves us in these moments of looking at the brokenness around us, looking at the rhythms of life, looking at the day-to-day grind, and far too often getting stuck in them. And here's why. Because the temptation has always been to find lasting satisfaction from a temporary source. All of us do that, right? As a pastor, I do that. I will often be searching for positive emails or dismissing the negative ones so that I can know that I'm doing a good job, as if what I'm doing is dependent upon you liking me. As a dad, many times I wonder if satisfaction even exists to have two kids as young as I do at home. As a husband, am I doing enough? Am I providing for my family? Am I doing the right things? At the gym, it is daily I question if life is worth living when I go there. Why do I want to take care of myself, and why does what I'm doing not feel like care? All facets of life, right? We've been there with our friends, with our family, and we just get into this place where far too often we start looking for satisfaction from temporary sources. Why? Because faith is a belief in something we can't see. But if we look for satisfactions to the left or to the right of us, we can at least see that. It's easier. Like, I can tell how my relationship's doing over here because I can look and know that it's good, or I can tell that I need to work in this area because I can see it, that it needs improvement. It's easier to look around us, to look at our bank accounts, to look at the cars that we're driving, the neighborhoods, the house that we live in. Am I satisfied? Am I pleased with my life? That's easy to look left and right. But when was the last time easy was ever worthwhile? When was the last time easy was ever actually satisfying? And here's where I think so many of us get off track. That deep within us, we know that there has to be more to this life. But in the process of this life, we forget that this isn't our home, and we get way too cozy. Here's a little bit about what I mean by that. And I'm going to need campus pastors on every campus are going to help me with this. If you guys will get on stage, grab a helper with this. I'm going to ask my friend Kelly. Kelly's going to walk up here right now. Kelly, did you know you were preaching today? On the campuses, everybody's got a plan for this. Here's what I need you to do. All the campus pastors are going to grab a hold of this rope. Kelly, you come on. This is good. No, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. On every campus, there's a live rope. Kelly, you just start walking, all right? You stretch our rope out. On every campus right now, there should be ropes getting stretched out. I want everybody to think of this rope as your existence. Hey, Kelly, hang in this direction, okay? We got a lot of rope left to go, so you got a lot of walking still. On every campus, try not to let the rope get wrapped around your neck. Last thing we need is an illustration to go real sour. Keep going, Kelly. You're doing great, man. Preach that message. On every campus, I hope that you're seeing this. As you guys are seeing this rope go, this is an illustration that I've seen in other places. Here's what I want you to think about for this rope, okay? Oh, Kelly, you coming back. That's great. Keep rolling. Every campus is stretching it out. All right, perfect. Stop right there. Campuses, we should have the rope stretched out. My rope is going from here all the way back to Mike, a kind gentleman, making sure people aren't getting injured. Kelly's almost all the way back up here. Every campus, this rope is your existence. So campus pastors, you hold up your end. Kelly, you hold your end up high so this room can see that this is quite an existence. I hope that's a good thing for your life. But everybody pause for just a second and look at your existence, all right? In your existence, there's some lows, right? We got to address some of that, that this rope does represent some low parts of your life. That's going to be part of it. On every campus, folks are reminded that in existence is also some rough times. But as you're looking at your existence, campus pastors, your volunteers, everybody's doing a great job. Kelly, you're doing okay. As you're looking at your life, I also want you to think about the highs. Because as much as there are some lows in your existence, this is quite an existence that there are some good parts. There's some things that are worth celebrating in your existence. But as you look at your existence and the length of this, here's why chasing forever has to matter for every single one of us. And campus pastors, I want to make sure you do this exactly right. Campus pastors, you hold up your end, the red tape. So red tape right here, this rope representing our existence. But here's what you need to understand. The red tape represents the part of your existence that you live here on earth. Because you were made, created, your soul inside of you is not defined by this earth. You were made to be a soul that lives forever. And knowing Jesus is about reminding yourselves that your existence will be a forever existence. But the temptation is to want to chase forever as if this little part of red tape is all that there is. Think about your existence, everybody. You see that rope? You see its length? A lot of life. A lot of life lived in that. But we're only talking about the red tape part of your existence right now. Everybody, give it up for your helpers. Kelly, if you'll work that way right back around. Campus pastors, if you'll begin to take that rope back up, I'm going to keep moving. So as little distraction as you can be, Scotty, Scott, looking at you, you take those ropes in. Think about that. That the temptation has always been to look for lasting satisfaction from temporary things. That we judge our lives. Perfect, Kelly. Thank you. We judge our lives. We base everything that we're building. We invest ourselves far too often in something that was always created to be temporary. We invest ourselves completely, our energy, our emotions, our attitudes, our actions, our finances, our energy, like how we live our lives. We spend it in something that's really just an inch and a half part of our existence. It's no wonder that we reach places in our lives where we're thinking, am I wasting it? Is this all that there is? I'm giving so much to this. There has to be more. And I wonder if the reasons we hit that place in our soul, it's because we know deep down that deep in the core of us, not only does there have to be more, there is. And the more is the forever part that we're actually living for. Because to follow Jesus means, it is absolutely a part of the process to know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're passing through to a forever where we get to experience and know God forever. But I wonder if we're not chasing forever because we're stuck in the red tape. You know, God's people were always, they were created from the very beginning of time. They were the Israelites, their own nation in the Old Testament. And God created them saying, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to the world. In other words, I want people to see God's people back in the Old Testament. And God created them so that as they live their life, people would be like, I want to know that God. Because I'm looking at the way they live their lives, and I want to see it for something bigger. And that's been God's design for his people. I want to bless them to be a blessing to the world. Let me give you a really quick history lesson. It's going to make sense. I'm going to try not to bore you. You stick with me, okay? God's people ended up as slaves in Egypt. They were slaves. They had a taskmaster. They were in charge of building things, back-breaking, brutal work. Well, as slaves, they begin to call out to God saying, God, do you see this? Do you see us? And slavery was, that's not a loving thing. It's not a healthy thing. That's never been a God-honoring thing. And so God's actually hearing the cries of his people. You go all the way back to Exodus. And I want you to see the history moment of God's interactions with his people and the fact that God had a plan for them even when they were slaves. Look at Exodus with me really quickly. Exodus chapter 3. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Hey, while I'm in the neighborhood, I don't know your faith journey, okay? I don't know what brings you onto a Bridgepoint campus, has you tune in online. I don't know where you are with God, but here's what I believe with all of my heart. That God, while you're trying to figure things out with him, that you're wrestling with doubts, you're processing questions, that you're questioning if God's out there, God's not questioning his love for you. He sees you. He hears your cry. He knows about your sufferings. And just because he's silent or feels distant in the moment does not mean that God is not at work. And I know a lot of people want to peg their faith on whether or not they can see and sense demonstrably that God is moving in their lives. But I just want you to hold on to the possibility that what if he does see it? What if he is working? And what if his plan is in action? It's just not yet. So stay tuned, okay? God's people were in that place, crying out to God, God, do you see us? We're blessed to be a blessing to the world as your people, but here we are as slaves. I know their sufferings, God says, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God wasn't trying to deliver them to a candy shop. What he was actually working on is saying, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you from slavery and take you to a land where I can provide for you completely. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And God's saying, I hear you. I'm coming. And so many of you, if you've grown up in church, you know the story of Moses had to go to the Egyptian leader. There was this great dramatic back and forth. God stepped in, worked some miracles, did an incredible thing before God's people were led out of slavery by Moses. The story wasn't finished yet because the Egyptian ruler Pharaoh pursued them. He wanted to take them back. He was like, what was I thinking? There's the dramatic Red Sea experience. If you don't know any of this, you go read Exodus chapter 3 and following. See an incredible story about how God showed up. God delivered his people. He washed away the enemy from pursuit of them. God's people found freedom. They went from slavery to freedom. A powerful thought, an encouraging thought that God sees it and he knows it. And then I want you to see something really unique. God's people lived as slaves, backbreaking work. They were stuck. They were trapped. God, in dramatic fashion, comes through for them to deliver them. And then look at these just a few chapters later in the book of Exodus about God's people. Exodus chapter 16, verses 1. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. Ready for this? 2.5 months after they were slaves and were now free. 2.5 months. Ready for this? This is why the history lesson matters. 2.5 months later, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Aaron was his co-leader. And the people of Israel said to Moses, the leader that led them from slavery, they're complaining, saying, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. These people were slaves doing backbreaking work. 2.5 months into their freedom, 2.5 months after they had been slaves but were now free, they're walking up to Moses and Aaron saying, what's the point of this? We were better off in not being in control of our lives. We were better off being subjected to terrible treatment by other human beings. We were better off that way because at least we could eat when we wanted to, as if that was actually true. Because the temptation for all of us, the temptation for all of us, is to seek lasting satisfaction from temporary sources. God's people had tasted freedom and had so quickly forgotten about what it was like to not know that freedom, that they literally complained about the freedom of the life God had given them. They got so focused on an inch and a half that it caused them to actually speak the words in a way that was recorded by God to say, this is not worth it. We'll trade all of it if you'll just let us go back to being slaves. What's wrong with you, Moses? Because the temptation for all of us is to look at temporary things to try to satisfy our souls in a way that only actually God could. Here's why this is important. It's as if Jesus knew that inside all of us is the desire to want to do things our own way. The desire to be defined by the inch and a half of this world that we live in, even though our existence is intended to be created for forever. Because I want you to see this conversation that Jesus had with some other people. They were God's people. The Hebrews became, they were the Israelites. They were known as the Jews in Jesus' time. Same people, same God's people. And I want you to see an interaction that Jesus had with the Jews. This is a powerful thought. History lesson's over. Here's why all of this matters. Ready? John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's a powerful thought. Jesus is, first of all throughout his ministry, declared himself as being truth. I am truth. I am right. I am the pathway towards freedom. Because truth can set somebody free. Truth reminds people, even the Israelites, when we tend to look left and right to find satisfaction, it wasn't better being slaves. Freedom is what we were made for. Freedom is what we were created for. Freedom to be blessed and be a blessing. And Jesus is saying, anybody that will follow me can hold tightly to the truth, to me, and I'll set them free. Now, just because somebody doesn't believe truth doesn't mean truth isn't truth. So Jesus is making a very declarative statement saying, listen, everything that your soul is searching for can be found in me. And if you will, by faith, grab a hold of that truth, Jesus, will set you free. Now, here's the point that I want to make with that. They instantly had a reaction that I think would be the exact same reaction you and I would make given the same circumstances. Jesus is saying, hold tightly to truth because truth will set you free. Hold tightly to my teachings, to me, to my way, and that will free you to live the life you were created to live. The people responded in a way I think you and I would. Very next verse. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. In other words, we're God's people. We're Abraham's descendants. And look at this statement. And have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Set free. You catch that? That's a bold-faced lie. We just read in Exodus that they absolutely were slaves and that God had to show up to deliver them because they were stuck. But the problem is that when we step into freedom, the temptation is always back to trying to find our satisfaction from temporary things, even if it means we allow the emotion of the moment or the desires that creep up inside of us to rewrite our history or rewrite where the greener pasture actually are. But that's how we would react too, right? What do you mean, preacher? You're going to stand up there and say that I'm not free? I do what I want. Nobody controls me. Nobody defines my life. Nobody emotionally has power over me. Nobody influences me like that. I'm a free person. I live the way I want to live. This is my journey. In other words, you talk about that slavery stuff, for today, spiritually, you talk about that I'm not free to be me stuff. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody. But here's what I want you to hear. Jesus helped everyone understand exactly what he was talking about. Because Jesus said, very truly I tell you. In other words, hey, this is really important. Listen to this. Very truly I tell you. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And I want to tread real lightly and cautiously by calling us slaves, because I'm talking about a spiritual sense. I'm talking about something on the inside. I'm talking about something that's really, really weighty for each and every one of us, myself included, that Jesus is saying, when we start to make this world our home, when we start to get cozy, when we start to seek lasting satisfaction from temporary places, we're turning away from the existence that God created us for, and we're putting our energy and effort in this little inch and a half. And here's why this is dangerous. If this inch and a half is all we have to live for, then this inch and a half must be entirely about your ability and mine to perform in such a way that makes us valuable. Meaning, our bank account does depend entirely upon us. Our self-worth does depend on our job. The way we're viewed by people is determined by the house that we live in. All of those measurable things, it becomes entirely about our performance. And that, folks, will crush us. Because we were never intended to bear the weight of our own world upon our shoulders. But I have good news for you. That if you're stuck in the grind, if you're stuck feeling like this is all that there is, if you're stuck feeling like you don't measure up or you've already been cast aside, if you're stuck feeling like you're not good enough, then I want you to know this. Jesus has always been about delivering and freeing us to a forever satisfaction. You tracking with me? Jesus has always been about delivering and freeing us to a forever satisfaction. Because Jesus isn't so much worried about our creature comforts here on earth, because this earth is not our home. This isn't all that there is. This isn't all that we were made for. Jesus is freeing us to experience the fullness of our lives. But again, some of you are still bristling against that. I'm not a slave. Don't tell me I'm stuck. Don't tell me I need freedom. Don't tell me I'm needing Jesus. Let me ask you just a couple thoughts. If you're not a slave to sin, if you're not a slave to this world, then put the substance or substances down forever. If you're not a slave to this world, then set your phone down for a long weekend and don't pick it up. If you're not a slave to this world, then commit to being single for a little while, because you're not defined by a relationship. If you're not a slave to this world, then stop allowing your mood to be affected by how you performed in front of other people. If you're not a slave to this world, then stop going back to this computer screen late at night. If you're not a slave to this world, then why are you so concerned about your image? If you're not a slave to this world, then why can't you share what you're really struggling with other people that want to help you? If you're not a slave to this world, then why can't you ask for help? Don't tell me, Pastor, that I'm a slave to this world. I do what I want to do. When in reality, that 1.5 inches becomes quite cozy. That lasting satisfaction becomes looking left and right. And we try to convince ourselves that we don't need Jesus to deliver or free us from anything. When deep inside, this is everything that our soul is craving. Can I ask you something? Is Jesus' offer of satisfaction enough for you? God gave his life that you and I might find ours. God gave his life that the things of this world might not define or control us. Jesus offered himself in an act of love that you and I could experience every blessing that God wanted to bless us with so that we might bless others. Here's why this is important. Jesus continues, John chapter 8. He said this, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son," he's talking to men, "so a son or a daughter belongs to the family forever." In other words, if you're spending all your energy, your efforts, all of your emotions, all of your physical being, if you're spending all your day thinking about how to perform in order that you can find temporary satisfaction from this temporary world, then you're just busy being about yourself because you're not a part of the family. But Jesus' invitation today is to move from being defined and held back by this world to step into the freedom of knowing that you're a son or daughter of God and belonging to something forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let me give you a shout out for some heroes that are doing this every single day. Big shout out to the single and working moms that are giving everything you've got to provide and invest in your kids, because that's eternal. That's a forever type of investment. Hey, big shout out to addicts that are openly fighting for freedom and trusting God to walk them towards deliverance, because you're fighting for forever. Big shout out to those of you that are following Jesus in spite of your friends, your family, or even coworkers and what they say about you chasing forever. Big shout out to the new or young believers that are asking questions and aren't afraid to say, "I don't know," but are willing to trust and follow Jesus anyway. Big shout out to those of you that are willing to buy lunch for friends if they're willing to come to church and just check out what God's doing here. Be committed to some souls. Big shout out to those of you that are doing everything you can to serve in any capacity at Bridgepoint, because invested people invest in people, and we're investing in a people that's a forever type of thing. Guys, we have to get to a place where we don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. That's a staff value for us here at Bridgepoint. It's something that Tim leads us well in. But that's the temptation for all of us, is to take our eyes off of forever and begin to look for definition from this world. Let me ask you some quick questions about chasing forever, and then I'm done. Let me give you a heads up. These questions are going to be deep. You're going to want to take a picture of these, and you're probably just going to want to process one question at a time. Otherwise, you'll miss the point of all of this. We're going to work through these questions as we go through this series. But if you're asking yourself, how do I know? Am I chasing forever? Am I pursuing the kingdom part of this, the eternal part of my soul, or not? Here's some quick questions that'll guide you. Ready? What is guiding your life? In other words, are you living for anything bigger than you? If not, you're probably not chasing forever. Number two, who are you living for? Again, Jesus said, love God and love people, which is like loving God. We talked about that last week. Does your life live for anyone but you? Number three, how is your life helpful? In other words, Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. So are you serving? Are you giving yourself away to others? Number four, is your purpose permanent? In other words, if you've invested yourself in something that's technological, something that's political, something that's ideological, something that is cultural, all of those things will change and shift as our world does. But God's kingdom is forever. Are you investing in it? Last question. Is your purpose loving? Because if what you're doing is dismissing, discarding, diminishing, or marginalizing any other person, then you are not loving in the way that Jesus was loving. Are you chasing forever? I hope that you're encouraged, that you're a part of a church that exists to help people, all people, get closer to God. So take a picture of these questions, and as you work through your next couple days and weeks, I just want you to take one question at a time and process it. What in my life does this look like? But I also hope that as you jump into this series, and as you consider whether or not you're chasing forever with us as a church, that you give so much excitement and grace to the fact that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Would you guys pray with me? God, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us for all the moments that we're tempted to look left and right instead of up? We look left and right to try to find satisfaction, even though we know this world is temporary. We know that people will fail us. We know that we will fail others, but God, we still try to get way too cozy here. So Jesus, would you help us to be a people that holds tightly to the truth that if you set us free, then we know freedom. God, I also know that there are some of my friends across all campuses that are wrestling with the idea, nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tries to control my life. Nobody defines me. God, today, would you make today about something bigger, something more, something forever, and help us not to get in our own way of just being able to find the freedom that your offer extends to us. Help us to know the truth, to know you, and be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.